It's the Infectious Groove Podcast, part of the Odd Pods Media Network. Recorded from Detroit, Michigan and Jacksonville, Florida. The Infectious Groove Podcast is your source for jammy jams, album reviews, and the best in-depth music discussion. Thanks for joining us. Now here are your hosts.
Well, hello. My name is Russ, and this is the Infectious Groove Podcast. Along with me this week is my on-again, off-again co-host and always best friend, Michelle. How are you doing, Michelle?
There were a couple times we weren't best friends.
Oh, yeah. No, that's 1,000% true. We should we should do another podcast after this one ends about our fights, because we could fill 3 years worth of episodes.
Yeah.
We absolutely could. Oh, brother, what a dandy we have for you this week. We are welcoming our friends from The Itch, and this week is a totally epic cover battle. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson's Beat It versus Fall Out Boy's version of Beat It. And the fellows from The Itch that are on to join us from The Itch Studios is KC, and then either from a toilet or a closet, we can't tell, is Aaron. Fellas, how's things going?
I'm recording from the same toilet closet that I've been in every time we've been on the show.
So confirmed. Toilet, closet, that's where you record.
Water closet.
I almost want to just leave the mystery out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Stand up.
Stand up. What a weird request I just received.
Exactly. I'm just saying he didn't stand up. So there's...
God, way to take the mystery out, Michelle. We could have made this a Patreon exclusive.
Are you recording this?
You're asking for an OnlyFans, I think, if you're talking about having people stand up in the bathroom.
Only if you're on the toilet. You have never confirmed nor now you're drinking a beverage on the toilet. You've never confirmed nor denied. I'm just saying.
I want everybody listening to know that this began literally the second that I entered the room. The first thing said to me was, "Are you on a toilet?"
Maybe
I thought it was mid conversation. This is the room where I get the best sound. It is not the room where I partake of any personal relief.
All right.
It is a tiny closet.
I'm gonna with a window. I'm gonna just gonna say this one thing and then we're gonna move off of the subject. I doubt you have never taken any personal relief in that room. Just like,
unless this is, well, it'll be a relief when this topic is over. We can count that.
moving over to your partner in crime, Casey, you are coming from what looks to me like a very normal room where we would not question anything happening.
I don't know. There's some weird lighting going on over there too. I don't know.
Now that's the OnlyFans studio.
Yes.
Is Aaron on the other side of that door on the toilet?
No.
In 3 years, I don't think we've ever had an episode derailed faster than this one.
Instantly.
You mean
this is only my first beer too.
This episode failed to even get on the tracks to begin with.
Yeah, no kidding.
There was nothing to derail.
My work's been done here.
This must be the last season.
No kidding.
They're getting weird in their last season.
It's so funny about the last season thing, because like I've tried like a moderate amount to like keep things scheduled correctly over the past couple of years, and like this last season I'm just like, I don't care, like whatever happens. Like
somebody
whatever.
Might be showing up, I right? don't know. I'm like, did you ask? And you're like, yeah, like 2 weeks ago. Like, it's fine if they don't show up, we'll just keep going. And I'm like, okay.
And but like this, okay, so this episode, it was what, I don't know, 2-3 months ago I got it y'all about doing this, right? Yeah. So we've had this lined up forever, right? So then like the YouTube channel I have, so we're recording this episode before it comes out, but after this we will have had a YouTube video surrounding MJ2, and I absolutely did not line that up at all. Like, it just happened to fall that way. So apparently for the last 3 years I should have just been like being all willy-nilly, you know, and just letting things go, and everything would have lined up better than all the stress. So anyways, KC, back to you. How are things going, brother?
Good. Very good.
After all that kerfuffle over air, and you're like, I'm fine.
After all that.
You're like, I'm fine, I don't want to answer any more questions.
No, you're good. Yeah, we've been doing tons and tons of interviews on our show.
Hell yeah, yeah.
And it's been crazy. It's almost not sustainable the way we've been doing.
It's not
interviews.
Sustainable. I've slowed down drastically on reaching out to people.
Yeah,
because I need to
which
sleep.
Isn't that a great problem to have though? Like, we back when we reached out for interviews, it's like you turn around twice and you're like, holy crap, like everybody wants to talk to us now. And it's like the best problem to have though.
Yeah.
And in the
if I can make it a full-time thing, it is fun. I just can't afford to make it a full-time thing.
Oh, if I could make it a full-time thing, this would not be the last episode of the last season of the Infectious Group podcast. Right. Yeah. But yeah, it is cool. But what every time we mention your show on our show, the people that you talk to are not the like grizzled old artists who are telling the same story 300 times to the same media outlets. You guys are talking to the up and comers, the people who, like, every time someone complains to me about even concert tickets today, like when I put your guys' show up, I always go, oh, that's the guys to talk to for new music, right? But people complain to me all the time about concert tickets. And I'm like, you have got to start going to bands on the come up. Like, you can still see incredible rock shows for $15, $20, $25 if you would just go see bands on the come up. Michelle, this is not for you. This is talk amongst the adults about, like, rock and roll and whatnot.
$25.
I know. That's at the ceiling of what you'll pay. I know. But you know what I'm saying? You guys, I see you guys post on Facebook all the time, like, just left another, you know, five shows this week or whatever. And but what I'm saying is you're seeing and you're talking to the artists who in 3 years are going to be $150, $200 shows and people aren't going to be able to get the password to, and you know what I mean? So I think that's rad. You know, like, am I wrong on that? You guys agree with what I'm saying. People should be going to concerts for bands on the come up.
At this day and age, if you want a band or an artist to last, you should go see them and maybe buy a shirt or something, because touring is also very expensive. Streaming is very hard to make much of a profit off of when you're small. Like, bands have to find ways to make money or they'll go back to their day jobs is really what it comes down to.
Yep. Yeah. So I always promote your guys' show on our show, but the song remains the same. These guys are talking to the artists that are up and coming. They're putting their money where their mouth is and they're going to pay for these shows and see them. So you should go listen to their show as well. It's the Itch Rocks. You can go to their website. You can just probably Google, I would assume, the Itch Rocks and find out everywhere to listen to y'all and whatnot. And then maybe at one point on their show, they'll address what I'm now referring to as the bathroom situation. We have feedback coming in. Yeah, bathroom gate. We have feedback from the last couple of episodes that we did. So we'll get into that right now.
Feedback, Joe.
Don't worry about that. Right. There's rock and roll be without feedback.
Did a YouTube video by request from a viewer a couple of weeks back of albums that changed everything for artists, like that one album where nothing was ever the same for them again. And we had some feedback from a viewer named Michael who wrote in and said, I would add Garth Brooks' Rope in the Wind to your list. He was on the rise with The Dance and No Fences, but then Rope in the Wind was an explosion. In high school, it didn't matter what kind of music you listened to. Everyone had at least two CDs, Metallica's Black Album and Rope in the Wind. And that was absolutely my experience. And I felt immediately terrible that I didn't include that album in that video because I'm always preaching about that record. So that was very strange. Michelle, is that the favorite of yours of all Garth Brooks albums?
Yeah, whatever you just said.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I figured, but I wanted to just double check with you.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Sean and Chris over at Dan to Rock write in regarding our soundtracks episode from last week, and they gave a shout out to Dayton over at the Docking Bay podcast for calling out the Rainbow Connection. Dayton's number five soundtrack of all time was the Muppets movie soundtrack, and mostly because of the song The Rainbow Connection. Sean and Chris said that song is not talked about nearly as much as it should be, which I totally agree with. They also went on to say that every week we end up sending them down a rabbit hole, and this week, because of soundtracks, they immediately went to listen to Kiss from a Rose, which was from the Batman Forever soundtrack, which I always think of that as being on a Batman soundtrack, but I can never remember which one it is.
Yeah. That's a great soundtrack though.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't love that movie, but I like the soundtrack though.
No, the soundtrack's way better than the movie.
Right on.
Is it Batman Forever?
Yeah.
The third one. Seth, of course, has something to say to all of us this week. Of course, he doesn't have anything bad to say about Michelle, though. When Michelle's here to hear it, he doesn't have anything bad to say about Michelle ever. Seth writes in and says, I'm a Struts fan, and I listened to their new acoustic EP, not even knowing that they had covered a Michael Jackson song, so it definitely worked on me. And that was in reference to, I was talking about how the Struts on their new acoustic EP cover one of my favorite MJ songs, which is Stranger in Moscow. And I had made the point that I bet a lot of Struts fans will hear that and not know it's an MJ song, because it's not like he did Smooth Criminal or Beat It or Billie Jean, you know, rather. They did a song that, like, most people I would think wouldn't even know. And that's funny that Seth, one of our regular listeners, actually listened to that EP and didn't know. So he was like, wow, that's a great song. Seth goes on to tell us his favorite soundtracks of all time, which is The Lost Boys, Rock and Roll High School, Lords of Dogtown, Call Me By Your Name, and Singles, which I feel like if you grew up in the 90s, Singles is like got to be on your list.
I never even saw it or heard of it.
You always add so much to the discussion. I've never seen the movie. I will say that. I've never seen the movie, but you've never heard of the Singles soundtrack? Y'all have, yeah.
I'm assuming it's a movie, there? Yeah.
I went back and listened to the soundtrack a few years ago because I constantly heard about how this is a soundtrack that basically, like, you know, defines or encompasses perfectly an era of 90s rock.
What I'm hearing is because you know and like music, you had heard of this soundtrack. That's
sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing my homework on rock history.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. See, that's a foreign concept for some people on the show. I don't want to name names, but that's a foreign concept.
Yeah, I'm not in school anymore. I'm not doing homework. Fuck that.
Solid.
It's also fair.
Our friends over at the Grab 'Em in the Brisket podcast said, if you guys don't include the Lion King soundtrack on this list, .. with the ominous ellipses.
Is there a knife at the end of that?
There is no knife at the end of that, but why would we include the Lion King soundtrack? Everybody knows the Elton John song and the opening track, and that's it. Like, nobody knows the rest of that soundtrack.
You don't know Hakuna Matata?
I mean, yeah, but like, I'm sorry. Well, now that you have a child, you might rock that out in your car, but did you ever before?
No.
All right.
I just want to know.
Never do the Muppets either.
No, well, come on now. Everybody listens to the Rainbow Connection.
I want to know what the end of that sentence is. You can't just have an ellipsis and not go anywhere with it. If it was a threat, I need to know how intense it was.
I'm assuming
maybe it was a compliment. Maybe they're saying you made the right call.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe instead of a knife emoji, it was going to be a crying laughing emoji from the sheer joy.
Yeah. Who knows? It's another mystery.
Right. Our friend Garrett writes in and says, I think you both overlooked 2006's cinematic masterpiece, Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny. But you both had nice lists overall. Yeah. I mean, it's the last season, so I guess I can say stuff that I normally wouldn't. But like Tenacious D isn't my thing. Like, that's the nicest way I can put it. They're just not like, I get why people like them, but they're not my thing. What? Do I get
why people like them?
I'm saying I get people who say they like them. But I don't. They're not my thing.
Well, see, we did like them when they originally had their show, but then The Pick of Destiny was kind of like took too long to release.
Not your thing at all. Yeah.
So, it's not that it's not my thing. It just the novelty kind of died down by the time they actually finished it.
No, I hear that. Garrett rounds out his comment by saying, I also haven't seen Almost Famous. Well, the cheese stands alone, Garrett, because since we recorded that episode, I have finally seen the movie Almost Famous after like 20 years of people telling me I should see the movie. I've watched that now. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And that's all I care to say on that topic. Our friend Dave over at Beardfront rounds things out with, please tell me Pootie Tang is going to be in part two of your greatest.
Fuck yeah.
And I think out of all the suggestions we got, I think we can all agree Pootie Tang is the missed opportunity that we didn't include.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I
mean, how is that not number one?
I know.
If nothing else, it needs to be just saying it needs to be a part of every episode. Yeah,
we'll do that going forward all the way to the end of the season. So as we always say, you can write to us on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere that you find Infectious Group Podcast, leave a YouTube comment, whatever you want to do. And all the way until we get to the last episode of this season, we'll be more than happy to read everything that you have to send in to us. And as always, all of the feedback that we're going to get, which I know we're going to get a ton from this episode on Michelle, she will not hear on next week's episode, which is fantastic for her. But please, by all means, leave us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you and read it on the show. Moving right along. Our jammies. We have the guests on this week that actually started my new need to read my Jammy Jams first, because we're coming full circle here, and you guys are the ones who went on with such passion and in-depth and information regarding your Jammy Jams that I forgot to share mine. So I'm going to go first, and then we're going to move on. I have three totally different things from each other over that I'm sharing for my Jammy Jams this week. One is brand new from a very old band. And we had a little interaction about this on Twitter with The Itch, but the band Extreme is about to release their first album since 2006 or 2007.
The Alpaca Farmer.
Yes, Michelle, that's correct. Base, extreme space player Pat Badger is an alpaca farmer when they're not on tour. And Michelle came into that information earlier today by way of me and has now recalled it 12 hours
later. No, I totally knew that.
Oh, absolutely.
Before you told me. I'm very into alpacas.
So back to the band Extreme. And their new single. They have a new album coming out in June, which I assume is for my birthday. Like, I have to assume that that's why they picked a release date.
Your birthday's in June?
Can you believe that? This is the person who just today posted on Facebook about how long we've been friends, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, the new single from Extreme is called Rise, and it kicks 10 kinds of ass. It is probably a little bit heavier than most anybody is expecting from Extreme. If you're an Extreme fan and you think of yourself as a fan of Nuno Bettencourt's guitar playing, you are about to be surprised by him doing even more guitar acrobatics than you've ever heard before. I absolutely adore the song. The next thing that has been my jammy jams is an entire album, which is the latest LP from the Lone Bellow, a band who we have gone on in great detail on the show before. But their latest LP came out in November, and it's called Love Songs for Losers. And I just
finally got around to that.
Well, as much as I love the band, I just hadn't got around to listening to their latest effort. And I have been patiently waiting for them to come anywhere near us in concert. And just the other day, I found out they're going to come like within a half hour of my home in Jacksonville in the middle of April. So I was like, well, I better hurry up and bone up on that new record, because most artists play a lot of stuff off their new album. And I'm happy to report that I really dig it. Like, it's probably their best album since their second one. At least in my opinion. My last thing rounding out my jammy jams is, and this stems off of last week's episode, where in my top five soundtracks, I had a Prince album. And most people would assume that if you're going to say Prince and soundtrack, that you're going to say Purple Rain. But Prince actually did four separate soundtracks over the course of his career. And the one that I had on my list is the Batman, the 1989 album. It's basically, mm-hmm. It's a Prince album, but also serves as the Batman soundtrack, and it's just killer, just absolutely killer. So I was revisiting that record a lot over the past week. So those were what I was listening to and what my jammy jams were. Let's go to Aaron in the closet and ask him what are your jammy jams.
This is lose. I remember the last couple times we've been on here, and again, as you mentioned, probably why you ended up forgetting to do yours is because I had a laundry list of tracks and albums for you.
Right.
So this time I'm coming at you with a single jammy jam.
Oh,
we just
going the Michelle route. Yeah.
One song. Yeah.
All right.
So we just released an episode with an interview with Scott Stevens, who is a songwriter, producer extraordinaire. He's worked with a bunch of the biggest names in modern rock, Shinedown, Hailstorm, Dorothy, a whole bunch of people. But he also was, and I guess now is, the frontman of a band called the X's that existed mostly in the early 2000s. They had a few fairly notable radio singles, and he just put out the first single under that name in about 15, 16 years. It's called Spirits High.
He's on the extreme timeline.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it was. I think they coordinated probably.
Right.
So, yeah. But that ever since that episode came out a few days ago, the song has been on repeat in my head to the point where I'm actually starting to hate it.
I think
it's pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to recommend people check that out, and then I can stop. So I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Like, I don't think that's how that works.
No. What was the name of the cut again?
The X's Spirits High.
Okay.
It's a fantastic track, and it makes me want to hear more from him
under
that name and with his bandmates. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, we've had that argument on this show in the past about how I'm very old school and I want albums worth of material. And I get that Grandpa's from a different time, but I don't like this thing where artists will release like one song and then a couple months. I want to hear like the work of art the body of work you were in that vein of, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear the whole thing. So, but I also understand that we're in a society now where like you have to make a flash quickly with like, you know, the one cut, you know? So I get that too, but I like, you like that song so much, wouldn't you like to hear a bunch more of it?
Yeah, largely. In this case, it's an interesting story in that it's almost like he didn't initially even intend for this song to be a thing at all. And it's almost like he's sort of testing the waters to find out if there even is interest in more. And so I could see an album coming, but it really depends on, you know, the sustained reaction.
And that's fair, too, with what you were talking about earlier with the costs involved in being a musician now. It's like you can't just go and rent studio time for that much of a, you know, and pay people to be around and the whole thing, get the whole production done, and then find out that it's not going to be a TikTok hit or whatever. You know what I mean? Or like, however you have to. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I kid you not. I was like, oh man, they're going to have like 30 jams apiece. but so one out of you, which is great. KC, are you picking up the slack? Do you got the other 29 or how many did you bring?
No, actually, one of the three was Spirits High. So that takes care of that.
Right on. And
I'm not going to really add too much more to it other than, you know, Scott's regular day job is creating other songs with huge artists. So the fact that he took like 2 years to write and create that song kind of just as a therapeutic thing with COVID and everything is kind of interesting. So definitely check out our interview if you get a chance with Scott. But I bring two others to the table. I just saw Des Rocks. I don't know if you're familiar with him at all.
I feel like I know the name and that's about it.
He think like Elvis, Prince, and like another band rolled into one, and that's Des.
As Leonardo says in Django Unchained, you had my attention. Now you have my curiosity. Like,
but I just saw him live the other day with Bad Flower, opening for Bad Flower. And he performed a new track that's going to be released in a couple weeks called Never Ending Moment. And it is a really, really good song.
Right on. I love that when you get to hear a song live first and you're like, oh man, when everybody else gets to hear this song. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so like this couldn't be for more off topic, but one that sticks out for me is we went to see Velvet Revolver the night before their first LP came out. And the only thing everybody knew on the radio was Slither. And of course they did a bunch of STP and Guns and the bulk of the record, but I have a clear memory of hearing Fall to Pieces for the first time that night and being like, oh, they better release this song as a goddamn single. Like, holy shit. You know, and then of course it went nuts when it came out. But yeah, I love that getting to hear something. And I would assume he probably told you like, hey, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, this is coming out in a couple of weeks if I'm done with it by then.
Right. Like,
'cause he's always tweaking songs to the last second. So,
well, I'm a Guns N' Roses fan, so I'm not going to shit on anybody for tweaking songs forever.
Right.
I mean, like maybe don't take as long as Axl does, but I'm also
the whole Chinese democracy.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Like you haven't taken 11 years to make a record. Come on. Who amongst us? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyways, you got the three, one of which was already covered.
Yeah. And then my last track is from a band called Islander. We just recently talked with the lead singer, Mikey Carvajal, and the song It's Not Easy Being Human, which features Lacey Sturm of Flyleaf.
Oh, right on.
Really, really good song. So.
Flyleaf is one of those bands that like around the Detroit. You know how when you go into any concert venue and you go in the restroom, like the stickers of like every band ever is on the walls, right? Flyleaf is one of those bands who I saw their stickers in restrooms for like 3 years before I ever heard them live. Like I kept being like, who the fuck is Flyleaf? You know, like I'd always saw their logo and stuff. And then finally I saw them like open for somebody.
Yeah.
And I just saw you guys talk to Eva or Eva under fire.
Eva under fire.
I just saw a bunch of my friends back home in Detroit all super excited because they're coming there soon too. And it's the same thing. There's a huge venue in Detroit called the Diesel Concert Lounge. And if you go into the restroom there, there's just those Eva under fire stickers everywhere. Yeah. And I'm like, damn it. They come to Detroit after.
From near there.
So no, I know, but I never saw. Yeah. I know, but it's like the White Stripes before they broke. Like nobody saw the White Stripes anywhere.
Right.
Like freaking Kid Rock, I walked in on like 20 concerts before he got big. But like the White Stripes, I didn't accidentally walk in on, you know?
Yeah.
But now, like everywhere I went in Detroit, people would be like, oh, Eva just played here. And I'd be like, how the hell did I miss it again? You know,
they're actually opening a brand new venue. I forget the name of the venue, but it's early April, I think.
Up in Detroit. Yeah. Oh, right on. Well, I'm sure Michelle will be there. Yeah. She's big. I mean, well, hold on. As long as the concert starts at 4 p.m. and it's $15 or less, Michelle is totally in.
And it has to be on Saturday.
Oh, and on a weekend. Yeah. Yeah.
Weekend matinees. All right.
Yeah.
But every time I hear Michelle complain about concerts, I think about the fact that I saw Jack White on a solo tour. He did a 2 p.m. show for like $15. And I'm like, that's the one Michelle should have saw.
I saw a quote from Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I saw that too.
Yeah. So she wants to see, I forget the band, Dave Matthews Band or Elton John or was something. It Coldplay? I want to see them at 1 p.m.
I thought it
may be, but like, I'm ready to see them at 1 p.m. And I was like, I'm here for this.
So to be clear, you and a 70-year-old woman are like in line with your thoughts on.
Yeah, but have you seen her?
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, that was the Jammy Jams from the Itch Fellas and a surprisingly low amount of Jammy Jams. However, I assure you these cats are not just on the show name dropping and go, oh, we talked to that guy. Like, these guys are passionate about who they talk to, about what they do, and about supporting who they listen to. So when they tell you that you should go listen to these songs, it is not because they just interviewed someone and that they're obligated to pump up the single. They're telling you that because they love this music. And I can tell you that if these guys are saying, like, I listened to this so much I got sick of it, that's because they're listening to it a lot, and you should too. So having said that, all the time foolery aside, my Jammy Jams that no one cares about, the Fellas from the Itch that no one cares about, we're at the main event. We are now ready for the cream of the crop, the person who the foremost authority on all things music on this show. Michelle, what have you been listening to?
Well,
The Wiggles.
It's been a Kings of Leon week.
Oh, how about that?
Just all of it.
Just, like just a little bit.
I just turn them on and then it shuffles and then I listen to that.
I cannot hear even the beginning of the song Mi Amigo without thinking of you. And
it's a good one.
Really, that whole record. That's what I'm going to say. This
Come Around Sundown.
Yeah, but it's what? It's like their fifth or sixth. I think of it as like their second album, but it's like their fifth or sixth.
Five.
Right on. So do you have any specific Kings of Leon songs or albums you would like to point out? Or?
I'm going to put it on our playlist.
Oh, it's a mystery.
I mean, yeah.
It's not that she's unprepared right now. It's that she's keeping it a mystery. It's not that. It's totally not that.
And then I remembered that, who was on the show? Was it Seth? That said that Fall Out Boy had a new single?
Yes.
Was it Seth that was talking about it?
More than likely it was Seth, yes. Okay.
So I remembered because of this episode, and then I went and listened to it, and I liked it.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that?
One brand. Look at that.
It's called Love from the Other Side.
The folks in Fall Out Boy are about to shit their britches. Super excited to hear that. All right. Well, as Michelle so casually mentioned during it, the thing she does for you every single week, the listener, is she puts together our Spotify playlist. So if you go on Spotify and look for the Infectious Groove Podcast playlist, you will find, first of all, those songs that Casey and Aaron were talking about. You'll hear a little bit of everything I was talking about. And then most importantly, the mystery of what Kings of Leon songs Michelle was talking about will be solved for you.
Tune in.
And so, yeah, you gotta tune in and find out. We are going to take a quick break. When we get back, oh boy, we got a good main topic this week. We are going to have another one of our totally epic cover battles. And the boys from The Itch are going to sit in with Michelle and I and discuss the differences between the MJ version of Beat It, the Fall Out Boy version of Beat It, which one we like better and why. You're listening to the Infectious Groove Podcast on the Odd Pods Media Network.
Once upon a time.
Boring.
It was the best of times. It was the worst.
You got that right.
What's your problem?
We want new stories.
Hi, it's Frankie.
And Garrett. And we host the Ever Trending Story, a weekly podcast where we bring to life a fictional story created by our own minds and some of the hottest, craziest trends from the internet.
Find us wherever you download podcasts and be sure to join the fun on social media at EverTrendingPod.
This is Beer in Front. Every week I'll talk about a beer that maybe we've forgotten along the way while we get those check-ins and badges. Being the Chicago beer guy, I'll also talk about great craft beer in the city of Chicago. And remember, sometimes the beer in front of you is the best one yet. That's Beer in Front, part of the Odd Pods Media Network.
We are back, and I assure you this is the first time we're doing the second half of the Infectious Groove podcast this week. My name is Russ, and with me is Michelle, and not only just Michelle joining me this week, but the folks from the It's Rocks podcast, Casey and Aaron. And like I say, I have not said all of this before. This is absolutely the first time we're doing the second half of this episode. There's absolutely no way I didn't hit the record button the first time. As I always say about the It's Rocks podcast on our show on a regular basis, these guys are not just interviewing a bunch of people so they can pump up their numbers. They're interviewing a bunch of people because they love the music that they're listening to and they want to support new and upcoming art. So please go listen to what their jammy jams were. Go subscribe to their show and support new and up and coming rock and roll, and listen to people who are making the rock, talk with people who are very passionate about it. As we get into the second half, which I assure you by the red button is very much being recorded this time. We are going to get into a totally epic cover battle, and this is the second go around for the folks from the It's Rocks podcast on the Totally Epic Cover Battle, and the second time that they have chosen a Michael Jackson versus episode for us. And y'all are doing that for sentimental reasons, because to keep the memory going.
We figure we can bookend it, you know.
There we go. When we get to the end of this episode, we'll play some like sad Simon and Garfunkel or something as we're all walking away. the end theme of the Incredible Hulk or something as we're walking away. This time out, the gentlemen are sitting down with us to discuss Michael Jackson's gargantuan hit Beat It, which was covered by the band Fall Out Boy. And we always go through a little bit of facts about both versions of the song before we get into all of our hows and whys of what we like about the original, what we like about the cover, which one's our favorite and why, and which one we recommend. So the original version of Beat It came from Michael Jackson's sixth studio record, Thriller. The song was originally released as a single on February 14th, 1983, and the song went to number one. This was released as a single about 3 months after the record Thriller came out. So you already had a couple of huge hits off of the record prior to this, and the album had already been setting massive amounts of sales numbers, and then this single still went to number one early in the next year. When we came around time for the Grammys, the song won Record of the Year and Best Male Rock Vocal. It features an incredible guitar solo from Edward Van Halen, which he only ever performed the song once live with Michael Jackson, which is kind of one of those things that in a way you think should have happened more than it did, but it just only ever happened the one time, unfortunately.
And would you say it was a good one time?
No, I would not. I strongly recommend you do not look it up on YouTube. And that comes from...
Is it like the original version of Cheap Trick, I Want You to
I
Want Me?
You Want Me, which is awful until you listen to the version on Budokan. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Don't do that.
Speaking of which, we were in the car the other day. We have a joint playlist that Lauren and I listen to in the car all the time. And she put the original version of I Want You to Want Me on that playlist. And
when it's not too late to get out.
And when it started. Good golly, Miss Mellon. When it started, I was like, oh, you put the wrong version on here. And she was like, no, I wanted the original version. And I was like, no one wanted the original version.
Cheap Trick doesn't even want the original version.
Right. But anyway, I say don't listen to it, that live version, as a person who absolutely adores Edward Van Halen and absolutely adores Michael Jackson, obviously.
Hey, don't you have Van Halen shoes?
I feel like I've heard you mention that before. But as a matter of fact, I do have Frankenstein Edward Van Halen shoes. The two bands met in Dallas on tour. The Jacksons were on the Victory Tour in Dallas, and Van Halen was, of course, on the 1984 tour in Dallas. Some people's people called other people's people, and they ended up linking up, and Eddie came over to play the solo live, and he very famously only played the solo once in the studio and was very much in the mid-80s party mode. So I, as a fan of both, I do not recommend going to listen to that version on YouTube. There's footage available on YouTube. I don't recommend it. The last thing that I wanted to point out is that Michael Jackson is, of course, insanely famous for the quality of short films that he made for all of his songs. And this one in particular, the Beat It video, is well known by very many people. And I didn't know this until we looked this up, or I started looking up facts for this episode. But CBS Records, Michael's label at the time, figured that the album was going to continue to float without the need for music videos. So they declined to pay for any of this music video. So if you watch this short film, it's $150,000. The cost is what you're seeing on the screen. And MJ paid for that out of his own pocket, which I didn't know until I was doing research for this episode. So I thought that was interesting.
That's pretty cool.
It is. Fall Out Boy came around to record the song in March 25th, 2008 was when they released it as a single. It was a bonus track on their first live album, Live in Phoenix. The cover came out of Pete Wentz's love for Michael Jackson, the bass player for Fall Out Boy, that's another thing I was unaware of until I started looking into it for this episode. It was born of the fact that their guitar player, Patrick Stump, lead singer and guitar player Patrick Stump, started playing the riff at concerts, and then it evolved into them playing the entire song, which is exactly what happened with the last band we all talked about, Alien Ant Farm, which if you're a guitar player, if you know any guitar at all, like, you got to want to palm mute that Smooth Criminal thing all the time. You know? So like, I could see many bands being like, don't do that, because people are going to want to hear that damn song, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the same
funny
thing.
Funny that if you play a Michael Jackson song, people might like it.
I know. That's crazy, isn't it? That's weird. It's almost like, it's almost like he knew his way around music. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What of note on this is a couple of different things. Number one, this was the first top 10 single for Fall Out Boy on the iTunes chart, which I thought was pretty interesting. I mean, iTunes had been around for a little bit by 2008. So it's interesting that a cover is the first thing.
They have much better songs that should have been on the charts.
Moving on. You might wonder who was playing the guitar solo on this, because Edward Van Halen has such an iconic guitar solo on the original.
Russ, tell us.
I will. The version of Beat It by Fall Out Boy features a guitar solo by the one and only John Mayer. John fucking Mayer. Before all of his controversy and everything that he did to get himself canceled for a minute, and he had a strong comeback after all of that. But this is way before all of that. Back in 2008, he played the guitar solo standing in for Edward Van Halen. And the video itself is not a direct parody of the Beat It video, but rather it features a whole bunch of elements of a bunch of Michael Jackson short films, which I kind of feel is a good way to go for two reasons. Number one, Weird Al already did like literally a shot for shot parody of Beat It, you know? And then on top of that, like by the time, like when Weird Al did Eat It, MJ was just on the come up. He hadn't done Smooth Criminal. He hadn't done Jam. He hadn't done Remember the Time, like all this stuff that like visually he would be known for. Right. So like, if you're Fall Out Boy, you have like a cornucopia of stuff to throw into your video, you know, like just seems like a better way to go about it. So having said that, we go through this, we talk about what we like about the original, which Michelle has a huge amount of things she wants to mention. So we'll get to her in a couple minutes. Yeah. We talk about what you like about the cover. And then we go through each person and say which one is your favorite and why. Then we tell you which version we would recommend. So even though we might have a personal favorite, we might have a different version that we would recommend to somebody else. So we will go through all four of those questions. I, as you might imagine, being the lead MJ person in charge here, which is self-appointed, by the way, I have a ton of things.
Was there a vote I missed or something?
Yes, you were not there for the vote that day. It was we voted on an episode you weren't here for. All the voters go to a different school.
Send my proxy or anything.
Right. Yeah. Having said that, you might know this already, but I have a ton of things that I want to mention that I love about the original. So I will hold off for a little bit. We will go over to Casey from The Itch first, and you can tell us what you love about the original. Now, keep in mind, Michelle has a ton of stuff, so please try and keep it brief.
I'll keep it brief. The first thing that I love about the song is Eddie Van Halen's guitar solo, and just overall guitar work on the song. I also like all the background vocals and noises that's in the song, and MJ doing what MJ does best.
I think we probably talked about this during the Smooth Criminal episode, but if you go listen to like any isolated MJ vocals or whatnot, and I don't mean I'm honest to God, I'm not trying to throw shade at like Freddie or Eddie even, or when you hear these isolated tracks that you can go listen to on YouTube, you know, when you hear MJ ones, you're like, Jesus, that dude's doing like half the work on this song. You know, like if you listen to the Beat It vocal, that dude's not just doing like what you hear prominently in the mix is, of course, the main vocal. And then you hear the hee hees and the oh Lord and, you know, whatnot. But then if you listen to more than that, that dude's doing like percussion with his whole body, like almost Bobby McFerrin style. And so when you say vocal, it's like the whole thing, you know, there's so much to it. So I want to make sure we leave plenty of room in the middle for this for Michelle to list off the entirety of everything that she likes about the original. Michelle, what do you like about the original version of Beat It?
Well, first and foremost, it's catchy as fuck.
That's true, which is something you can say about a lot of Michael Jackson music.
But I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
What a twist.
Hot take. Especially for a podcast. Yeah.
I have to assume you said that for the lulz, but go on.
Oh, that was it.
It's just
moving right along.
Just like that, it's catchy as fuck. That's your
Michael Jackson.
I mean, I also like the things that were previously mentioned, but I'm not going to say it again.
Oh, you yeah. also like the guitar playing and the vocals.
I like Edward Van Halen.
I see. No, based on our friendship history, I'm going to say that I'm going to call you out and say that's not true.
Okay. When I think of Beat It, I think instantly of the guitar solo. Like, I don't think of the chorus. I don't think of anything to do with Michael Jackson. I think of the guitar solo. That's what plays in my head.
Continuing making friends. We'll go over to Aaron. Aaron.
You're the one who told me to expand my thoughts. You're the one who tells me to speak out loud. The first one was just, first take was perfect. Just in and out.
Maybe I always have my phone laying here. Maybe just text him to me first before you say him out loud.
Should I write him down and just hold him up?
When the text comes, I'll either give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And if that's for outside voices or not. Let's go over to our other friend from the It's Rocks. Aaron, what do you like about the original? Oh, now, careful. We've already covered that the song is catchy as fuck.
Well, see, that was basically all I had. So I don't know what to do anymore. But
I mean, that really covers everything.
I mean, yeah. So a couple things. First off, I want to start off topic by saying thanks to Russ for the kind words that he had about the itch at the beginning of this section of the show. It was a major 180 from what he said in the first take that didn't get recorded. And there was way much less profanity.
A lot of swearing in that take. Yeah.
Yeah. So the people will probably like us more for what you said this time. Second, you guys actually did cover an awful lot of what I was going to say that I liked about this song. So I'll find what was left. First off, we've established it's, you know, very famously known that Eddie Van Halen did the solo for free. It's, I don't know, Russ can probably tell me more about this, but I don't know how big the story is, but also that solo was so good that the monitor speaker caught on fire during the recording of it. And that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, and what Casey said, you know, Michael Jackson doing what he does best. And when he said that, where my mind went was Michael Jackson does everything best.
Right.
Because he's there with the production and the songwriting and partaking in the choreography and the actual dancing. And just the whole vision behind it is really what the thing is with this song.
Right.
It's the idea, you know, he was out here, you know, trying to preach for unity and whatnot. And so he's making this song about nonviolence in this time period and whatnot. And he's behind it. The label is behind it. They're just the ones who decided, you know, Billie Jean is still charting. Let's put this out anyway, which typically what you do is start putting out a new single when the other one is fading out.
Right, right.
They're like, we can get two. And they did. Mm-hmm. Eddie was in for that concept as well. And the video, this is another thing that I just think is amazing. The video, he recruited actual members of the Crips and Bloods to be part of this music video.
Yep.
In order. So this wasn't just, I'm going to make a video about brokering peace. Michael Jackson was actually trying to broker gang peace,
which is insane.
In real life within making of it, which that just, like, how do you not love that?
And I say insane in the best way I can say insane. You know what I mean? Like, who else would do that? And it gives you an insight into the mind of that person. Like, when people say that Michael Jackson was weird, and like, nobody else on earth would have been like, yeah, but get some Crips and Bloods and we'll just talk it out. Yeah. We'll like dance it out.
I think we can do this.
You know, like, that's how the dude thought. You know what I mean? And like, everybody else on the set was probably like, we're all going to die. You know?
Yeah.
And he was probably like, no, we're totally going to talk it out and dance it out. You know what I mean? Like, geez. Which, by the way, and I want to be clear that I'm speaking only for myself when I say this before I go through the things that I have to say about what I like about this. Real quick, the reason Chris Rock, why people are still listening to Michael Jackson and not R. Kelly, is because one person has been proven innocent many, many, many times over, and the other person is a convicted piece of shit, you idiot. Anyways.
So many surprises in this episode. Yeah. I've never been taken off guard so many times in one recording.
Again,
thanks, alcohol.
Again, we're at the end of the run here of the show, so I'm saying some things that I normally would just allude to. But believe it or not, and I'm not kidding, between the three of you, you guys touched on a whole lot of what I love about this track. Like,
but mine was probably number one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually wrote here, catchy as fuck. I did not. That's a lie. But I kid you not, the first thing I wrote in my notes under what do you like about the original is everything with a question mark. Like, I mean,
how is that better than it's catchy as fuck?
Because I have a lot more points to follow it up, and here they go. The main vocal on this track is insane. And by the main vocal, I mean literally just the, they told you don't you ever come around here to, the, you know, beat it. Like the actual chorus, the main vocal on the song is insane. Then when you worry about all of the harmonies that this cat is doing over himself, and I know Grandpa's from a different time, but this is pre-auto-tune. This is pre-digital. You don't get 400 takes at it. This is a guy with analog tape coming over himself in pitch perfect timing. It's insane. It's insane. And if you listen to any of those isolated tracks, now this I strongly encourage people to go do. You go listen to these isolated tracks. Michelle has her hand raised. Hold, please. If you go to the listen to these isolated tracks on YouTube, understand that nothing you've ever heard in the last 20 years was recorded this way. This is a person doing something with their natural talent. Michelle, I see your hand is raised.
This has nothing to do with anything, but if I don't fantastic tell you right now, I'm going to forget. Did you know that T-Pain is doing a non auto-tune cover album?
Nope. Is it cool if we go back to talking to the, about the natural?
He said auto-tune in the so that's
T-Pain
on you.
She was like, I'm not going to text this to him later. I got to get this out right now.
I'm on a boat.
It's music related. Hello. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Another thing I like about the original version of it. And this is something that should go without saying, but is Quincy Jones's production on this record. If you can, I highly recommend getting Quincy Jones to produce your record. Now, I don't know, you know, he may be out of reach for some people's budget, but
is he still alive?
Yes. Good God. And the man turned the knobs perfectly on this record. There is a reason why this album is reference material for nearly every turntable since 1982. It's because it's perfection as far as production goes. This goes without saying, but Edward Van Halen's solo is perfect. So much so that even the electronics in the studio gave out, as Aaron mentioned. Like the electronics in the studio were like, okay, there's on fire, and then there's literally on fire. Like this solo. This solo is sick. You don't get to make Spinal Tap jokes, Michelle.
I've seen it. It's bad.
What?
The last thing I wanted to point out is exactly what Aaron rounded out his thing on is I love the overall message of this. I love that the cat went and got actual gang members for the video. This is not the last time Michael Jackson would talk about injustice, social differences, less violence, healing the earth. But this is really the first time that it was at the forefront, like that he, you know, and like I mentioned earlier, the guy paid $150,000 to get this video made on his own, you know, to be like, no, this message is like, this isn't about, well, some people might refer to this song as just catchy as fuck, but other people might refer to it as a cultural touchstone. And the reason why is because
that is what I was going to say. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Cultural touchstone.
Yes.
Where that's a good one.
That video was a big, huge thing. And the guy paid for it on his own because the visual messaging of the song, he didn't want the message of the song to be lost on anybody. So this cat paid to make sure that that happened, which I think is stunning. I think it's awesome.
It's the world's history's most expensive PSA.
Yeah, it'd be great if at the very end of the video, when it like goes, you know, when it scrolls all the way out, you just see a star go across, and the more you know. MJ comes out.
I can make that happen.
MJ comes out in the jacket, which by the way I have right here. MJ comes out in the jacket, and he's like, he comes out and he's like, hey, don't do gang violence, you know. And then the more you know.
Don't do gang violence.
What's the one from Scrubs?
Please
come home. Yes, make dinner.
Yeah, that maybe don't make reference to that right now. It's a great joke, but not for this episode. Having said that, we're going to go through what you like about the cover, and there's a lot I like about this cover. I feel, now I will say this, I'm going to speak kind of on behalf of a lot of MJ fans. I feel like MJ is one of those things like Zeppelin or Floyd, where people feel like nobody can do a cover of this person. And I feel like there are some folks out there that do good covers of MJ. And there's a lot I like about this cover. So having said that, we're going to go in reverse this time. I'm going to tell you guys some things I like about it, and we'll go through y'all and see what y'all think. First of all, I love the big, loud production of this. I'm sure this has happened to you before where you hear of a certain artist is going to cover another artist. I'll give you an example. When I heard that Metallica was going to cover Turn the Page, I knew exactly what that was going to sound like. Like, you know, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm just saying I knew when I heard White Zombie was going to cover Children of the Grave, I was like, I know how that's going to sound, right? And I didn't know what to expect from this. Like, I didn't know if Fall Out Boy was going to play it straight, if they were going to do like a mopey version and be like, oh, look, we're making fun of Beat It. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I really didn't know what to expect. And I love the big, loud production of this. Like, and especially at the beginning of Beat It is the very famous production notes from the 808 drum machine, right? And I was like, well, how are you going to do that? And they're just like, nope, we're skipping right to the drum beat. You know, like, and which I love. I think the vocals are as good as you can hope for from somebody trying to do. No, I mean, Michael Jackson has a very high register, does he not?
Yes.
Okay. So you can't just waltz in the door and cover MJ note for note. I know, because I've tried on very many karaoke nights. It's not a thing most people can do. I still try, though. But the vocals were a huge surprise to me. And then I put this next phrase in my notes in all caps with a period after every word. I like John Mayer's solo on this. And I've had this argument with very many people. People have told me I'm lost my hearing by liking. I like John Mayer's take on the solo. It doesn't mean that I'm detracting from Eddie's solo. I just like John's take on this solo. So having said that, now, again, Michelle, I know you've got a ton of points that you're welling up, but just let us get through Aaron and KC first. Aaron, is there anything you like about the cover, or does this not hit for you? What do you think?
There are things I like about this cover, and I think it's worth noting that even though The Itch is the rock show, nobody within The Itch of the three of us, including our friend Dan, who's not here, is a particular Fall Out Boy fan. So to me, there's a little part of me that's like, I'm trying to represent a band that we don't actually give much attention to.
Right, right.
Yeah. That said, I like this cover. And sort of to play off what you were saying, it's one of those things where I wouldn't have asked for it or expected it or necessarily known what to expect when they mm-hmm. announced it. But upon hearing it, I was like, actually, this makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like, now mm-hmm. that I've heard it, I entirely see how it works, and it's cool. I appreciate the way they did that video, and the way it was an homage and just like a loving touch on, you know, the entirety of the MJ video catalog.
Yeah, yeah.
So mm-hmm. this was them, you know, giving their fandom over to him. And I appreciate the way that, you know, we talk about MJ and his perfectionist production and all the little nuances and things going on within the song. And I think Fall Out Boy does their best to replicate a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on within the song beyond just, you know, the famous guitar lick and the solo and whatnot. And also Stump's voice does a good job with it, as you noted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's,
even though the parts that that stood out for me vocally is the way he falsettos, like the end of the main chorus, that no one wants to be defeated. Like when he did the falsetto, I was like, right on. Cause like you could you could do that almost in a comical way, you know, like, oh, I'm trying to make, oh, look, Michael sings hi, haha. But he's like, he's trying to like do justice.
It's very much in Fall Out Boy's wheelhouse to do it that way. And that's why it was like, oh, they Fall Out Boy'd it. And so, you know, however much you like that band, it is probably going to be about consistent with how much you enjoy this single because they definitely gave it their style. I also have to note, just to bring his name into it again, the music video includes Don Faison, who also came up in our previous MJ episode.
You think his name is Turk Turkleton?
Turk Turkleton. It's Turk and JD and JD. I love it. Anyway,
but yeah,
as well as Tony Hale makes an appearance in there. So you have characters from two of my favorite sitcoms ever, plus a sumo wrestler. Like, it just gets better and better.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree. Let's move on to Mrs. Turkleton. Michelle, what do you have to say about the? And please, by all means, try and keep it shorter than your thoughts on the MJ original.
First and foremost, I will say that I don't like it.
Really? For real?
For realsies. You're
the person who played Fall Out Boy for me first ever.
Yep.
Oh.
Fall Out Boy's good.
Not this version of Beat It, though. They can
there
up and go left themselves.
There are some things that aren't terrible, like John Mayer's version.
To new listeners of the show, it's the highest compliment she pays, is when things aren't not terrible.
Not terrible.
I like John Mayer's solo. I think that it is not good as Eddie Van Halen's, but I think he brings his own into it, and I think he holds his own very well, and I do enjoy that.
So I'm not saying this to be funny, but this is a fact, and Michelle, you will admit to this. You think all guitar is noise, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm shocked to even hear that you like I thought you would hear Eddie and just be like, that's noise. And then when you heard John.
I don't know why that. It's the first thing I think of when I hear it, when I think of Beat It, is the solo. I don't know why.
That's interesting. But you don't mind the Mayer take on the solo, correct?
I don't. And I mean, not because it's John Mayer. I just think if someone else had played that exact, I'd be like, that's cool too.
That was my next question for you, was how much does John Mayer's hair play into this?
Oh.
What did it look like at the time? Send me a picture.
Okay. After the episode, I'll send it to you, and then we'll put it in the show notes.
I do like, and this is going to sound crazy when I say it out loud, I do like that it's Fall Out Boy's version of Beat It. It's not just a straight.
A copy, yeah.
A carbon copy of Beat It. I like that it's Fall Out Boy's own version. Mm-hmm. That being said, I like Fall Out Boy doing Fall Out Boy. I do not like them doing Michael Jackson.
Right on.
All right.
I dig it. I dig the version of it. Ken. What have you got to share with us regarding this? I know, and I'm not being funny. We've covered like a lot between all of us so far. So you're batting cleanup here. What do you like about the cover?
I've already mentioned John Mayer, so I won't belabor the.
But
the point
okay,
too
hold
much.
On though. Am I wrong though? This solo is not terrible, right?
No, it's really good.
Okay,
I have more to say on that. I'll save it though.
Okay, please go on in a second because I had a friend tell me once that he thought I didn't know anything about guitar because I liked the solo.
Well, the thing about John Mayer is. He's just so effortless with his guitar playing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it almost comes across that he like doesn't give a shit about anything, which he might not, but
I think that's another
story.
I think at this time in his career, he definitely didn't give any crap about anything at this time.
Right.
But I'm sorry to derail and just focus in on the solo for a minute, but we might as well bring all three of us in on this. I feel like he did what Fall Out Boy did with the song, which is, I'm not going to carbon copy this solo. Because why would you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are you going to just, like, you can go on YouTube and watch a million people carbon copy this solo, right? So, like, it's not like John Mayer couldn't do it. It's just, why do it? But I feel like he hits enough, there's, like, enough nods to the original.
Yeah, especially at the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. Pretty much anytime anybody's like rapid firing notes in a row, everybody's like, oh, you're doing Eruption, you know, like so.
Yeah, right.
But real quick, just to step off, Aaron, what did you want to say about the solo?
Well, since we've all thrown that out there, I'm definitely also in the camp of I don't like it as much as Eddie's, which I know that bar is already incredibly high. So like, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
I'm not going to say it's bad, but I will say I don't like it as much. What I do like is the selection of John Mayer, period.
Yeah,
because
I agree with
Fall Out
that
Boy, if you think about it, so what they said was they wanted to bring in a guitarist who was basically like on his way to becoming a legend, and which is
turns
it's
out
very
that's
parallel
true.
To where, yeah, yeah, it turned out to be accurate pretty well, I would say. And it's very much in line with what MJ was doing with Eddie, because, you know, this is early 80s. Like Eddie was a known commodity, but now here we are in 2023 looking back at him and, you know, he's one of the greatest of all time.
He's on Mount Rushmore now.
Yeah, he's Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
And so Fall Out Boy was like, yeah. Fall Out Boy was like, what can we do, you know, to sort of simulate that as well? John Mayer is our pick.
Who is President Rushmore? No, I totally get what you're saying with that. And I didn't even think about that as a. I honestly, when I first heard it, I just thought it was the irony choice. Like, look, we got the Bodies of Wonderland guy to play the solo, you know? Like, But I bet you're totally right. You know, so to circle back to you, Casey, I know you had more to say than just I like the solo. So what else did you want to say about this?
I also, well, real quick, I want to just point out Tony Hale, Buster Bluth, being in the a karate instructor in the video is hilarious. But Patrick Stump's vocal runs towards the end of the song are really, really good. And I'm typically not a person that enjoys listening to vocal runs because I feel like you have to really nail them in order for it to be good. Because then it kind of just sounds like noise, just like guitar.
Yeah, exactly like guitar.
But he does a really good job with it and makes it his own. Also, key point here, there are no misheard lyrics with Patrick Stump in this song.
Yeah.
Because every other song that he ever does, there is misheard lyrics everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Not case in point.
Go ahead.
Case in point in centuries. Here's the frozen fruit. You cannot tell me that he's not saying here's the frozen fruit in that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is what he says.
Yeah. not to plug our own content, but we just had a YouTube video come out the other day that Lauren handled of misheard lyrics, like five songs you always mishear the lyrics on. And when we got done, because she just comes up with her lists and then we naturally discuss them in the videos, right? So I usually don't know what's coming. And as soon as we got done shooting that video, I was like, I can't believe Fall Out Boy wasn't involved in this video.
I'm going to throw it out there right now. I'm going to give you two video ideas. One is an entire Fall Out Boy misheard lyrics video. And two is a five favorite MJ covers, because we've already established that there are plenty of them out there that are, solid.
I don't know. I probably mentioned this during our last time together, or you guys might know, but have you heard the rock cover of Give In To Me by...
is it 3 Days Grace?
Yes. Yeah, as in like, no one wants to hear from 3 Days Grace. They do a great cover of of Give In To Me by MJ. But yes, 3 Days Grace does a great cover of Give In To Me. And then we just talked about last week, the Struts of all people cover Stranger in Moscow by MJ, so we could totally come back to that. But yeah, and then what's a fun thing is, because Lauren loves classic rock, like she loves Elton John and Billy Joel and all that stuff, I should just make her listen to a bunch of Fall Out Boy and then come up with what she thinks they said.
It's like impossible to know.
Yeah, I know. It's much like the Bible. It's a lost language. No one knows what he was really saying in the first place.
Patrick doesn't even know. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's dropping whores and having nuts on his bedpost. It's all good.
Oh, boy.
I just want to point just a real quick deviation, since there's already been 25 of them.
There have been, yeah.
That Casey and I were college roommates for a couple of years, and that video... There an early internet misheard lyrics video for Fall Out Boy circa, I don't know, 05 or something like that. Is a core memory for me of our time living together, is watching this video with somebody created the characters in MS Paint or something like that.
Yeah.
Like when YouTube first came out, it was fantastic.
Nice. Having said that, we have a couple of questions to get through before we go to the end of this. I gotta say, this has been a riot.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. I know, Michelle. It's well past your bedtime. That's my bad. One of the first questions we ask at the end is, which one is your favorite and why? I'm going to abstain from this question for now, and I'm going to roll through everybody on the show. Casey, which version of this song do you prefer and why?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to stick with MJ because it's just hard to beat it.
Oh, zinger.
Oh, I see what you did zinger. There. Zinger.
Michelle, which version is your favorite?
The original, hands down.
And I assume the why is because, as previously mentioned, it's catchy as fuck.
It is catchy as fuck. And I'm not saying that it is the be all end all. Fall Out Boy just didn't touch it. Like, there might be another.
So you're saying that on the horizon, someone, maybe you, could cover Beat It better.
Oh, I definitely could, but I just haven't recorded it yet, so it's not in the running. So
I understand. We will release that as a bonus track to our double box set of our It Rocks podcast that are coming out.
Yeah.
I'll get my warm water with lemon going.
Please.
Yeah.
I would suggest a ladder and a baseball bat to hit the high notes in this as well. Aaron.
I have a lovely voice.
All God's children. Aaron, when we talk about Fall Out Boy versus Michael Jackson, which version of Beat It is your favorite and why?
You have to go with Michael Jackson on this one. The song is too iconic for the thousand reasons that we've already noted. I want to add one more, though, supporting argument.
Tear it up.
I've heard people speculate that without Eddie Van Halen joining Michael Jackson for that solo, we might not have later gotten things like the Run DMC Aerosmith collaboration. And so there is a trajectory. I'm going to give a sliver of credit. There's many other artists that deserve a lot, too. But a sliver of credit for this marrying of rock and pop that if you listen to The Itch, or if you do listen to The Itch, you'll realize that that combination is vital to our show's existence.
Right. Yeah, no. So. Yeah. And I will say this. The most argumentative thing that I can say toward that is that I had never considered that before, that like without that, we might not have got to. But as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, shit. I don't know. Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's definite, but I think that there's something in there. This combination of genres, you know, Michael deciding he wanted, this is what I would like to hear a rock song sound like.
Well, I mean, it's well documented that both sides of the fence got exposed to things they had never heard before because of Beat It. So at the very minimum, you have that aspect of the argument for sure. Yeah. I let me say this. I had never thought of it before, but I would never disagree with what you said. Let me put it that way.
Fair enough.
My complete notes on which is your favorite and why is the following. I'm going to read directly off my notes. Come on now. That's literally what I put in my notes. I mean, come on now.
Michael, moving on.
Michael Joseph Jackson. Come on. In every way. Like in every way. If I was going to say there was anything that might sway me one way or the other, it might be the whole idea of having Mayer play the solo and what he did with the solo.
So not even the Fall Out Boy part.
Oh, no. And Fall Out Boy added cowbell to the track.
How dare you?
Fuck yeah.
If Quincy Jones didn't think it needed cowbell, it doesn't need cowbell. Let me just say that.
I'm going to disagree on that count, but it's still an MJ one no matter what.
You are for the frivolous and overuse of cowbell as much as possible.
I have yet to see hear enough cowbell in my life to feel that it's ever been frivolous and overused.
Yeah, I can't even disagree. The last question we ask is a Michelle original. It's which version would you recommend? And for me, I'll start this off. Obviously, I would recommend and have to people all over the earth to listen to the Michael Jackson version.
Have you met someone who hasn't heard it?
No, but if I do, I'm going to be like, boy, have I got something for you.
Well, you said you do recommend it.
That's like how I open most conversations in public with people.
Like, no, you say, have you heard
the people are like, hey, do you know where this is in the store? I'm like, have you heard Beat It? So if somebody ever says, no, I haven't heard Beat It, I'm going to be like, boy, have I got a track for you. Also, bananas are in aisle four, but check this shit out first. So obviously I would recommend MJ. However, I would say, and we touched on this earlier, if you're a Michael Jackson fan and you're listening to this going, oh Jesus, how could they even compliment? Oh man, the original is the mountaintop. Please, if you haven't, go check out the Fall Out Boy version. I assure you it's not terrible. So I think it's an excellent cover. On top of that, I will go so far as to say that. So I would, you know, like Michelle said, you know, there's probably very few people who haven't heard Michael Jackson's version of Beat It. But if you haven't heard the Fall Out Boy version, I really think that you should give it a fair shake. We'll go over to Ken. Which version of Beat It would you recommend to somebody and why? Pretend that we're living in a dream world where someone hasn't heard Beat It, as Michelle so accurately observed.
I would stick with Michael Jackson, the original song.
Fucking MJ getting the sweep so far on the Itch episodes, by the way. Just want to point that out. Spoiler for anybody who might go back and listen to the other one. Clean sweep for MJ so far.
It's too hard to top it. So
yep. Well, I know. I know you wanted badly to say Beat It again, but you had already done it. So
yeah. I didn't want to beat the joke to death.
So. Yeah. Michelle,
this is what I have to deal with every week.
Michelle, pretend that you would run into yourself, a person who doesn't know very much music and doesn't appreciate much about music. And who hadn't heard the song Beat It unless I played it for. Which version of Beat It would you recommend?
Definitely the Michael Jackson version. And I would go so far as to, if you've never heard Fall Out Boy, don't.
Okay.
Great. I am not being funny. Finn. That very much surprises me. I know you like the band, and I thought you would have liked their take
on it. I really love the band.
But not their take on the song.
I do not.
Wow, they're going to be so disappointed to hear this.
As soon as it came on today, like I was like listening to them back to back, I instantly wanted to turn it off. I was like, this is not
That's different for you, to just want to instantly turn music off when you're supposed to be intently listening to
podcasts only.
Right, I'm aware. Aaron, round us out. Which version of Beat It are you going to recommend to someone? And also, apparently now there's a side. Would you, if it is MJ, would you tell people to listen to or abstain from the Fall Out Boy version?
So the answer is MJ. And I'm definitely not just saying go listen to it. I'm saying go find the video.
Yeah.
Because if MJ thought that the video was worth making to get his point across, then I think it's worth watching to get his point across.
Yeah, yeah. And recently,
music videos into this, like what?
Recently uploaded in 4K for the first time. So
yeah.
If you've
watched
seen
it earlier today, yeah, it's confirmed.
It's
I can't handle this anymore.
I will say really quick regarding the video. Where are they coming at from the sewer? I don't quite get
Ninja
that.
Turtles.
Yeah, I was going to say. Obviously, they had just had a meeting with the Ninja Turtles.
Wait. I've never even seen it, and obviously that's the answer to your question.
Wait. did you, when you say you've never even seen it, please like, tell me you're referring to anything to do with the Ninja Turtles and not the Michael Jackson monumental, groundbreaking, and cultural movement that was.
Is that the one where he lights up when and he's walking?
That is absolutely not the one where it lights up when he's walking.
I've not seen it.
Will you?
I was over here disappointed that she might not have seen the Ninja Turtles, but here you are.
Will you please, when this is done, watch? It will take 4.5 minutes of your time.
Bro, do you know what time it is?
Maybe tomorrow.
If I didn't watch it to prepare for this episode, it makes you think I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
That's a fair point.
First of all, no one told me to watch music videos. That was not in my notes for the show.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our friends from the It's Rocks podcast for joining us one more time for this go around on the show. I've been on their show at least once or twice, somewhere around there.
Just and, once, tragically. Just, it needs to be more.
Hey.
The one time was tragic?
Even though.
No.
No, but we did talk about... no, we didn't. Never mind.
No.
I was going to say we talked about Eddie Van Halen, but we did not. We talked about Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. However, I've been on their show before. I assume I will be on again. They've been on our show a couple of times. However, if you've heard this episode and you've heard us have such a good time, and you've heard me go on about how much they love music and new music, as soon as this is over, please go to your podcast provider, look up the Itch Rocks, hit the subscribe button, and not just listen to their show, but when you listen to their show and you hear them talking to these up and coming rockers and talking passionately about this music, go support that music as well. You cannot sit around and complain about how there's no new music and concert prices are ridiculous if you won't do something about it. And the guys at the Itch Rocks are doing something about it by giving a platform to these artists and talking passionately about this music regularly. So please go listen to their show. And I would assume the MJ fans will like most of everything they said on here. Probably not so much anything Michelle said. I think you managed to offend both sides of the fence this time around, Michelle, Fall Out Boy fans and MJ fans. Yes. So if the Michael Jackson fans would like Michelle's home address, just get at us on Twitter. I'll be more than happy to give you her home address so you can go speak to her about it in person. Again, Aaron, Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been an absolute riot. Even though our show, our YouTube channel is going to continue, our audio podcast is going away. But anytime y'all need, well, I would recommend just me. But if you want Michelle too, I can do what I can. Give us a holler. And we'll come over on your show. That is a giant ask. If you guys can do the show at like 2 p.m. on a Saturday, she's in.
Right.
That's a fit between my naps.
Next week on our program, it will be a Michelle-less episode. And we are going to bring on the show our friend Richie from the Super Media Brothers podcast. And it is my turn for an album review pick. And we are going to go way off the reservation from the two artists we are talking about this week. Richie and I will be reviewing the album Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish, one of my favorite albums, at least in the past 5 years. I know, it's almost like you should show up on every episode. Then you'll get to have more fun.
I'm going to be in Chicago.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
Where they have no music.
famous, none that I've heard.
Famously Music City. Yeah.
Definitely not Motown.
I have the blues about how much music doesn't come from Chicago.
I thought that was New Orleans.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, absolutely. That famous blues city, New Orleans. I'm jazzed that you don't know what music comes from New Orleans.
I made a potato.
Like we always say about this time, without music, life would be a mistake. Bye.
The Infectious Groove podcast is hosted by Russ Robinson, Kyle Wimple, and Michelle Casalecki. Produced and edited by Russ Robinson. Intro and outro music composed by Chris Kimmel. Recorded with a Rode Podcaster Pro and Rode Pod Mics.